So the next verse is shorter. It doesn't need that much discussion, but we'll do it. And then, because then the subsequent two verses are connected, so that we'll do next week. So the next verse is kind of a continuation of this verse, and we'll talk about that. So verse number 50. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma.
Siddhim prapto yatha brahma.
Tathapnoti nibodhame.
Tathapnoti nibodhame.
Samase naiva kaunteya. Nishtha jnanasya yapara. So siddhim, so now siddhim prapto, naishkarmya siddhi, prapto means having obtained this siddhi, this state of actionlessness, where the mind is pure, without attachments, without selfish desires. I've grown out of my bondages and I am all the time peaceful. Now, having obtained that, there is one more step, and that is reaching Brahman, becoming one with Brahman, knowing Brahman. So siddhim prapto, siddhim praptaha, having obtained this siddhi, yatha, in this way, brahma tatha apnoti, having now obtained this, how did this person apnoti, reaches Brahman, becomes one with Brahman, knows Brahman, understands Brahman, realizes Brahman. Brahman is nothing but that total consciousness, the Atman, the Self. That is all one word. You can call it moksha, you can call it Brahman, you can call it Atma, you can call it realization, you can call it liberation, you can call enlightenment. They all mean one, they all mean the same. It's just different terms for that state of waking up. So realization is not suddenly you go and a light shines or you get a halo around your head, you know, you have this light around you, or you walk around, or you can walk on air or walk on water. None of that. It is a change in thinking, where instead of thinking I am the ego, I think I am that consciousness. That's all. That's all that is required. Not only thinking, but you have to abide in that and stay in that. And that's what Krishna is telling. That having understood this, that I am Brahman, tatha apnoti, how to abide in that knowledge, how to obtain that, reach that, and then abide in it. First you have to reach that state, or realize that state, and then you have to abide in that. That's why they say, na, shravana, manana, nidhi, dhyasana. You know, there are three steps. Like the first step is to listen. As we are all doing, we are discussing, we are listening. I, you know, have read commentaries from different acharyas and I'm just sharing it with you. So listening is very important, and we have to listen repeatedly. You say, I've heard this before. I am Brahman. Why are you keep repeating it? I've heard that you should do service. I've heard that you should do prayer. But unless you hear repeatedly, our vasanas are so strong that here it becomes very clear. But the moment we walk out of it, the knowledge disappears. And then tomorrow you think, what did he say? I think he spoke about some wolf. I remember that. You know, that's all we remember. Or we remember the joke. That's good. At least you remember that. But the point is that this knowledge has to become a groove, just as, you know, the river going through again and again made the Grand Canyon. You know, over millions of years, there was a horizontal ground and this Colorado River came, and by running, it made so many miles deep Grand Canyon. So similarly, in our mind, there are so many vasanas and so many wrong ideas. So this knowledge removes old ideas and then makes a firm groove, so that this knowledge instantly becomes available to me. What is a pure mind? Swamiji told us last week. He says a pure mind is one which is available. Having studied this knowledge, it should become useful to me. I should be able to apply it. That's why they say, Shravana, listen again and again. Because that's what I feel. I've been listening and attending these lectures from Swamiji since 1990s. Actually, as a teenager also, my mother used to take me to Swami Chinmayananda's lectures. So repeated listening will make this knowledge clearer to us. So one is repeated listening. Second is mananam. Go home and think about it. Okay, what did we hear? What did we see? Go back and all of you have the books, reread them, because Swami Chinmayananda ji has given a beautiful commentary. You can buy CDs by Swami Chinmayananda ji, by others, you know, in we have the entire set of Swami Chinmayananda's commentaries on 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. You can order it in the office. Even the talks that I'm giving, they are putting them online. Tony has been putting them. You can go to firstpower.info, or you can just Google talks by Dr. Anil Mehta. Doctor, not, you have to put other than many Anil Mehtas. If you put Anil Mehtas, there's a lot of, there's also a film photographer, you know, the cinematographer. He has also, so, but if you put Dr. Anil Mehta, it will take you to the website where you can re-listen to these talks. So listening and then contemplating upon it, manan, and then the third is abidance, nididhyasan. And that's what Sri Krishna will tell us, how to abide in that knowledge, so that when I'm dealing in the world, that's why they say when the rubber meets the road, when I'm in the marketplace, how do I apply the Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is not only for the book, not only for a Sunday class, but it's for 7 days a week. It should apply. So that is what Sri Krishna says. Siddhim prapto yata brahma tatha apnoti nibodh me. Bodh means listen, understand. Nibodh means understand very well, learn very well. Clearly I want you to understand. And if you do have any doubts, he says, I will explain again. And this actually he has already covered in third and fourth chapters. But he is revising at the end of the talk, because the Bhagavad Gita is almost over. So he is summarizing what he has said. And then he says, samasena. Samasena means briefly. Why is he saying briefly? Because he says, I've already told you in third, fourth chapter. I've told you in fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth about this knowledge, how to abide, how to live. But I am summarizing. Also, he says, you know what? 18 chapters are over. We have a war to fight. You know, now when the few more verses are left, and then Arjuna has to pick up his Gandiv and go to war. So he says, now is not enough time to go into detail. So samasena, briefly I am telling you, Arjuna, Kaunteya, he was Kunti's son, so he calls him Kaunteya. And what does he say? Having understood this knowledge, nishtha jnanasya, abidance in this knowledge. Abide in it, use it, apply it, and make it part of your life. Gita, that's why somebody told Swami Chinmayananda, I have gone through the Gita 3 times. Swamiji says, has Gita gone through you? Gita should go through us, where we should start living Gita. Look at Mahatma Gandhi. He lived Bhagavad Gita. Every night he used to read the Gita whenever he had any doubts. So I should become the Gita. Gita should be through me. So nishtha jnanasya ya para. Para means the highest. In the Upanishad they say there are 2 kinds of knowledge. One is paravidya. Paravidya means the highest. Apara means the lower. So what is apara? Apara is whatever I know in this world. Chemistry, physics, mathematics, medicine, law, engineering, cooking. All that sciences that I know, they are all called apara. They are useful in the world, no doubt, but they do not take me to the highest. What is apara? Para, what is para? The highest, of course, is the state of realization, Brahman. And the way to reach that is through the Upanishads. Studying the Upanishads, which is the highest knowledge. And the Bhagavad Gita is a summary of the Upanishads. So knowing the Upanishads or studying the Bhagavad Gita, which is considered as the closest to that highest truth. And of course, it came from the Lord himself, from his mouth. We were blessed to have this Bhagavad Gita. So this highest knowledge of the Upanishads, how can I abide in that? So Krishna tells us. So as I said, Brahman is not something to be reached, something to be got. It is to be known. It is to be realized. Now, how do I abide in this knowledge? So as I said, repeated listening, thinking about it, and then when I am in a doubt or a question, go back to the Bhagavad Gita. What does the Bhagavad Gita say? That's what Mahatma Gandhi used to do. He said, anytime I have a challenge in life, I go to the Mother Gita and she answers my question. And there is no problem in the world that cannot be solved by the knowledge of the Gita. The more you listen to it, the more you apply it, the more you think about it, the more your mind will become clear, your mind will become calm, you will not be bothered. That's why Sri Krishna says, Yasmin sthito na dukhe na gurun api vichalyate. He says, once this person is established in this knowledge, even the greatest sorrows you put on him or her, person is not bothered. Look at how many sorrows the saints went through. Mirabai. Look at Sant Gyaneshwar, how much he was tortured by the villagers. Look at Jesus. Look, all these saints went through so many problems, but because they were established in the knowledge, nothing could shake them. Then after that, you don't worry about it. Usne kya kaha? Oh, she said this and he said that. And he didn't invite me to his party. These are useless things. You know, if somebody didn't invite you on Friday, we feel very happy. Oh, it's good. There's no invitation. I can sit home and just relax. You know, you enjoy your own time with yourself. Again, you know, I mean, people like to go to parties. It's good. But after a while, those things become less important. What did she say? What does he think about me? What does they? Log kya sochenge? You know, we all the time worry about it. So they say grow out of that. Grow out of that, because once you find inner self completeness, then the world cannot make you unhappy. So abide in that, and the abidance has to be internal, not external. External is needed in the beginning. Like say somebody is doing puja, right? So every morning he gets up, he takes a bath, puts on tilak and you know all that, and then he goes to the temple and there he does his pujas or he, you know, in his own house. He has a small, you know, temple, so he will go there and do puja. That's very good. But suppose he's spending half an hour or 45 minutes in doing puja, but his mind is on his work. You know, after puja, you know, I have to go and, you know, cheat that person, you know, because that's the only way I'll, you know, get success. Or the stock market, you know, he has just seen the Dow Jones and market is down and he's all depressed. So at the time of puja, you should be thinking about God. At that time, you should not be thinking about your stocks or your work or your family or your other responsibilities. Everything should be set aside. Children, husband, wife, work, everything. So that is called internal. If at the time of you're doing puja, but you are thinking about something else, then that's only a ritualist. Then you have become a ritualist. Mechanically, you go offer flowers, chant the mantras. But while you are chanting, you know, you say Shri Krishna Sharnam Mama, but you know, you are thinking that my Sharnam is what? You know, Dow Jones. Then that is not. When if you say Shri Krishna is my Sharnam, then you should be thinking of Shri Krishna at that time, not of anything else. So the abidance is internal. Abidance is not external. After a while, you may not even need to do puja because your mind is all the time settled and thinking about Krishna. Again, I'm not saying that you, but some people don't. You know, there are some Mahatmas like Raman Maharishi, he never did any puja. He says, when you say puja, he says, who? You know, whom should I do puja to? I am that. Then there is Ramakrishna Paramhans. He used to go to offer flowers to the Mother Goddess. And he would put the garland round his own neck. And the prasad, he would eat it himself instead of offering it to the Mother Goddess. And people think, oh my God, look at this person. You know, what kind of pujari is he eating the prasad before even giving it to Goddess? And the har, that the garland which was given for her, he's putting around his neck. Because he saw no difference. He said, God and I are one. If I offer to her or I offer to myself. You know, so great saints reach that state of actionless perfection, where then they see no difference between me and God. Everything is God and everyone is God. And that understanding comes. So that is an internal transformation. It is not external. It's not changing your clothes. You know, some people, you know, they may want to take sannyas, but for the majority of us, you don't have to change your clothes, you don't have to change your profession, you don't have to change, give up your family, your house, your car. Continue to do everything you're doing, but just change your attitude that I'm here to serve the world, and my job and my activities should all be service. So the mind has to be well directed. And I was reading this commentary on this, and there's a very beautiful commentary about the mind. It says that we are roaming around from house to house, right? And we are knocking on different doors. Our mind is knocking on different doors. And so one door, it says pleasure. Another door, it says profit. Wow, these are two good doors, you know, so let me go. So the mind knocks on the door, says pleasure. So the pleasure opens the door and says, come on in, come on in. And closes the door, right? So I go in, ah, pleasure, wonderful. But what happens along with pleasure, there is another, his friend called sorrow. And he's sitting there, he says, pleasure says, here, meet my friend sorrow. So first of all, you were not expecting sorrow, you were expecting pleasure, right? You got sorrow. Secondly, now he has closed the door, you can't escape. And that's what happens when you go after pleasure, it catches you. When you cannot get out, then your whole life is spent in pleasure, and then pleasure is not permanent. Sooner or later, whatever I loved will. That's why Swami Bodhatmananda ji says, things that give you pain are the same things will give you sorrow. Your children, sorry, things that give you pleasure are the same things that will give you sorrow. Children, in the beginning, they give you so much pleasure, but wait till they become teenagers. So the same thing that gives you so much pleasure ultimately will give you sorrow, because they are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate pleasure from sorrow, or you knock on the door profit. Same thing, profit opens the door, but there is along with loss. You gain something, you lose something, and you get trapped. So that's what they say, the mind just goes around knocking for different doors, looking for pleasure, looking for profit, looking for fun, looking for... But nothing in this world, they say, no, there's no such thing as free lunch. There's no such thing as free pleasure. There's no such thing as free joy. Everything has its counterpart. So that's why stop knocking on these doors for my joy, for my happiness, for my completeness. Yeah, you need to have some fun. You need to have entertainment. You know, you can't just become a boring person or live a boring life. But realize the limitations of these things, that these things are limited and they will give me limited joy. And that you have to understand. Number one. Number two, do not look for completeness. These things will never make me complete, will never make me completely happy. Only way I can be happy is in God's presence. So that's why Sri Krishna says, this knowledge, nishtha, jnanasya, learn to abide in that and create an internal transformation. See, Arjuna, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, that's why they say Arjuna Vishad Yoga. He was completely shattered. You know, he says, you know, the Gandhi is slipping from my hands and my tears are running down from his eyes and his whole body is shaking. And this great warrior, who was the greatest warrior of his time, he couldn't even lift his bow, and he's sitting in the bottom of the chariot crying like a child. And Krishna says, whatever happened to you? You were the great Arjuna. What's wrong with you? He says, I can't fight. How can I shoot my arrows at Bhishma and Drona? They are to be worshipped. Bhishma is my grandfather. Drona is my guru. But Krishna says, they may be, but they are on the wrong side. They chose to be on the side of evil, and your duty is. Now, Krishna was God, right? He could have in one stroke destroyed the whole Kaurava army and told Arjuna, okay, here's your kingdom. The entire Kaurava army is dead. He didn't do that. He could have. He didn't do that. All he did, he could have given Arjuna great supernatural powers. You can go out. He didn't even do that. He didn't do anything. All he did was change his thinking. from 2nd chapter to 18th chapter, all he did was change his thinking. The internal transformation is what Krishna did. And that's why yesterday we heard from in the Gita chanting from Swamiji, Tahal Kishore Maharaj. He says, at the end of the Gita, Arjuna says, Nashto moha smritir labdhva tvat prasadat achyuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. So Arjuna at the end of the 18th chapter says, I am ready. My moha is gone. My delusion is gone. My confusion is gone. Nashto is totally destroyed. And smritir labdhva. And I have understood, remembered what it is I am supposed to do. Why am I here? I had forgotten that I was here to fight a war against evil, to do the right thing, and I had forgotten them. And tvat prasada achyuta, O Krishna, it is because of your grace, because of your blessings, because of your compassion that I have obtained this knowledge today. Sthitosmi gata sandeha, and I am now gata sandeha, I have no doubt at all. I'm firmly established. Karishye vachanam tava. I'll do what you say. Otherwise, throughout Gita, you know, he said, Arjuna uvach, Arjuna uvach, Arjuna uvach. Arjuna is asking, Arjuna is questioning, Arjuna is challenging. At the 18th chapter, there is no Arjuna uvach. That's what we heard yesterday. Bhagwan uvach. The Lord alone will speak, Arjuna says, and I will do whatever you tell me. From now on, it will not be my will, but thy will be done, O Lord, thy will be done. That's what Jesus also said, thy will be done, O Lord. And same thing Arjuna says, Karishye vachanam tava. So this knowledge is not going to, suppose people say, by coming to the Gita class, what will I get? Will I get more money? No. Will I become better in Chevron where I'm working? No. Will it improve my medical practice? No. Will it make me a better athlete or a better? No. All it will do is change your internal mechanism. So you are a better person. And whatever you are, if you are a housewife, you will be a better housewife. If you will be a doctor, you will be a better doctor. Because you will be more compassionate. If you are an engineer or a lawyer or whatever job you are doing, you will do it with the right attitude. So that's what Krishna says, that learn from me very well. Having understood this knowledge, how you can abide in it and ultimately reach Brahman, the highest. That's what Sri Krishna will tell us in the next two verses, which we'll do next week. How to abide in this knowledge and how to progress on this path. So that is what we can look forward to. So coming attraction. So we have a trailer. Now the main movie will come next week. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
Nobody here to say anything. I have long thinking process just from what you just said. I hope if I'm boring, I can stop. When you say your kids gives you joy in the beginning, but if you think that you are the doer, then you'll get the pain down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you feel like, wow, how can my kid can do something like this? Then you take pride like you are the reason. No, no, no. Every individual human being have that. So if you can stay still like what Krishna is teaching,
right.
So you know this story, even after Gita and everything, when Lord showed his Virat Swarup, then Arjuna was convinced. Even after that, when his son Abhimanyu was killed, he got mad and he just said, I'm going to kill that guy before the end of the day tomorrow, or I will just put myself in the. So even with God being next to him constantly, he went through so much in and out of the knowledge. So with us, I don't think we all can just improve in 1 year or
right.
2 years or 10 years. It constantly just help us think what can we do so we don't just get like saddened, or we don't get just overjoy.
Right.
Or just whatever we do, can we try to do better? That's all I think should help with these Gita classes.
Very true. Thank you. Very well said.
Can I ask felt like the comment yesterday that Swamiji had made. He said, when you eat good food, it leaves a good taste in your mouth. That way, if you read a Gita, it leaves you good knowledge in your mind.
True. Very true. Yeah. Okay.
So I have a question about, you said to love all without any attachment. I think the biggest struggle is, it's, yes, you can love all, but then you have expectations. Like, for instance, someone respects you, you respect them back. If, let's say, you give it all, you give all your love, you give all your respect, and you don't, there's no reciprocation there, then you feel, should you back off, or should you continue to love all because you're doing it through the Lord?
Right.
I feel like that's, maybe, at least for me, that's a struggle. I don't know for most people
right.
how it is.
No, it is a struggle. So the question is, should we love all? And even if the person doesn't love me back. Because see, if you love somebody, so the person should love you back, that becomes a business. I loved you and so you love me back. The day you stop loving me, I'll stop loving. So then it becomes a business transaction. My job is to love. The saints don't say, you know, I love you and so you love me back. They just love everybody. So you just love everybody. If somebody reciprocates, fine. If somebody doesn't, that's their problem. But my job is to be good to all, be loving to all. Because ultimately, I'm not loving that person. I'm loving God. Because God is in her. It's not. So when you see that divinity in all, see, that's why they say in meditation, you discover the Lord within. That's why meditation is so helpful. Once you discover the Lord within, then it is very easy to see him in all. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. You say, I see the Lord in everybody, except, you know, my mother-in-law, you know, just giving an example, or my brother-in-law, or my neighbor, or my boss, or my co-worker. So we find certain people that we dislike. And so you say, God, I cannot see God in him. So, which is true, you know, and happens in all relationships, in all families, in all situations. So it is not easy. And like you said, it is not easy. Not that, you know, all of us are struggling with the same thing. I'm struggling as much as you are. But with this knowledge becomes easier. And also what happens is things don't bother you. If somebody asks me how this has helped me personally, things don't bother me as much as they used to. Like 10, 15 years ago, if something was not going well, I would get very upset or somebody said something or criticized me. Now I say, "Theek hai, you know, it's okay." So it makes you more calmer in dealing with situation, and that will happen. You will find that your mind will be so much more at peace because its knowledge does that. It definitely, I don't know, I'm not, you know, I don't know if I'm closer to God or not, none of that, but at least inside I know I am more peaceful, and this knowledge does help you to grow out of that.
And the key is not to have expectations.
Yes.
That's always a big thing.
Right, and not to have expectations.
We all have expectations.
True. We do have expectations, but you do your best, and if the person does back or fine, if not, and suppose somebody keeps on taking and doesn't give anything back, you say that is his karmas. You know, ultimately the law of karma is same for everybody. What you give, you will receive. If you take from somebody and do not give back, you know, you're a thief, and that's ultimately the law of karma will catch up with such people. Those who are consistently malicious or wicked or dishonest, or, you know, they always end up with problems sooner or later. The law of karma always catches up. Everybody is 100%. What you give, you get back. If you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. My mother used to always say, "Jab dusron ko phool dete ho, tumhare haath mein pehle sugandh aati hai." See, when you give flowers to others, your hands smells first good. So that means you get the benefit right away. Just while giving, automatically the joy of giving itself is the greatest benefit. Just enjoy giving, because giving has so much joy. The more you give, it becomes almost, I won't say addiction, but it becomes a constant source of joy. Giving is a wonderful thing. Giving is the best thing you can do. And nothing, you don't lose anything by giving. You always gain. Learn to give. That's what I found. I hope it answers your question. Yeah. We'll end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhavet. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.